Blog Talk Radio. There we go. That seems to be about right. All right, is that better? I think we have sound now. We have liftoff. Okay. Okay. Let's see what we got here. Oh, great. Now we're back in business. As I was saying, today's date is June 14th, 2011, Washington, D.C., the planet Earth, third planet from the sun. Antoinette has an interesting name. And I wonder, as a child, if she had a hard time spelling it. Because I think that if my name had been Antoinette as a child and I had attempted to spell Antoinette, I would have pulled my hair out. Because even when I type it in the chat room, I have a very difficult time spelling her name. And often I need to look at it and make sure I've gotten it right. When I was being born, Mom had her heart set on naming me Sebastian. And back in those days, in the early 60s, women had very few choices in childbirth, anesthetic, and there was no epidural or anything like that. So after about 12, 13 months of labor, a woman's usually exhausted, from what I understand. And, yeah, Antoinette writes in the chat room that her whole name is 28 letters. Damn. So my mother managed to get out something that's not very much a bastard. And the nurse repeated the word. Is that what you want to name your son? And my mom looked up at the nurse and said, oh, the hell with it. Just Clarence, which is my first name. So then today I wonder if I got the best of the deal there. It was either Sebastian or Clarence, which is my first name. I started to tell that story. It's kind of cute. But watching the debates today, because I didn't get a chance to watch them last night, but we were doing the show, I came away wholeheartedly dissatisfied with the debate. I was completely underwhelmed. Not a single candidate blew my skirt up. Picture that, if you will. Not a single candidate. I was not at all happy. So I thought today what I'd do is, in order to try to generate some excitement, at least for myself, is to run down the candidates and sort of get an idea of who these folks are. And I thought it'd be a good topic today for this show. Sebastian Cabot. I love Sebastian Cabot, too. Died of a massive heart attack. A little chunky. Yeah. Bobby, Jody. Like those names, too. Okay, but anyway, back to the candidates. Declared 2012 Republican presidential candidates. We're going to start with Fred Krager. Not a nice name for a president. Certainly doesn't sound very good. Fred Krager. Fred Krager is alleged to be one of the rudest Republican political operatives the past three decades, really. Never heard of him. Anybody? Anybody at all? We have a caller on the line already. Caller, you're up. Thank you. Hello.
Hello, it's Karen.
Hey, Karen, how are you?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm
good.
On my phone again, my car phone, so you can put me on ignore.
Oh, I'll just put you on mute, but we'll get back to you in just a second because I want to talk about the goats.
Okay.
All right, okay. Hold on. Yes, he did. He did some years after the family affair went off the air. He taught me the word dawdle. Antoinette, I learned the word dawdle from him because he told Buddy and Woody that when coming home from school through Central Park, that you should not dawdle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I learned that word from him. Anyway, Fred Krager, one of the shrewdest Republican political operatives of the past three decades, announced the formation of his 2012 Exploratory Committee on July 18, 2010, making him the first ever openly gay aspirant for the presidency. Republican, despite being a lifelong Republican, the 61-year-old Krager will be running on an independent ticket. His campaign was hit with a sucker punch when he was locked out of the Carolina Republican Party presidential debate on May 5, with the organizers reciting his low poll numbers as the reason. Did anyone know that we had an independent Republican candidate, Fred Krager, openly gay, running for the presidency of the United States? How do you think he'd do? Apparently he has very low poll numbers, so they locked him out of the debate. I would have loved to have seen him participate. Well, you had some really good grandparents, Antoinette, because I did not learn that word until I started watching Family Affair. Next candidate on our list. Jimmy McMullen for mayoral, gubernatorial, and senatorial candidate for the Rent is Just Too Damn High party. He announced his candidacy for the Republican presidential nomination on December of last year, explaining his decision not to contest the Democrat nomination, a party he was formerly registered with. He's a karate expert. McMullen was quoted as saying, "The rent is too damn high." The flamboyant Vietnam veteran also gave some words of advice to President Obama. And I quote, "If you don't do your job right, I'm coming at you." Sounds like a threat. Next on our list, Tom Miller. Is anybody yawning yet? Not just at the sound of my voice, but at these weak candidates. Okay, Tom Miller sees that the United States of America is being destroyed from within. Hear, hear. This destruction is being created by career politicians' excessive debt, illegal immigration, political correctness, and much more. Miller and his campaign committee, Reduce Government Miller for President, describes himself as a solution-based public servant, not a politician. Tom's platform is based on reducing government by re-empowering American people with the freedoms that they need to rebuild our economy. His name is Tom Miller, y'all. Give it up for Tom Miller. Who the hell is Tom Miller? Okay. Never heard of him. Roy Moore. Let it roll off your tongue for a minute. President Roy Moore, y'all, give it up for President Roy Moore. In a political landscape dominated by shifting alliances, policy U-turns, and even outright lies, damnable lies. I ad-libbed that one. West Point graduate and 2012 presidential candidate Roy Moore stands tall as a man who sticks to his guns no matter what the cost. In 2003, Moore went against the ruling of the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals by refusing to take down a display of the Ten Commandments from the Alabama Supreme Court building, a decision that ultimately cost him his position as Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. Well, hooray for you, Roy. But who the hell is Roy? Who is Roy? Has anybody heard of Roy besides me just now? American citizen, we are talking about the candidates. I know that some of these guys are dicks, but you are... That's not what we're talking about. Some of these guys are tools, citizen, but that's not the kind of tool we're talking about right now. Okay. The American citizen writes in the chat room, have you heard about the penis photo that Anthony Weiner placed on the internet? I would ask the citizen if he has a picture. Oh, my goodness. It is being confirmed that Weiner's Arab wife is having a lesbian affair with Hillary Clinton. Citizen, I love you, man, but you got to put away the cooking sherry. Oh, my goodness. All right. Next on our list of candidates is Ron Paul. Ron Paul officially announced his candidacy for the 2012 Republican presidential nomination on May 13, 2011. The 75-year-old Texas congressman will once again center his campaign on the theme of liberty, human rights, and the financial markets reform. With his small but vocal pockets of supporters spread all over the country, the libertarian-leaning Republican is set to be one of the most controversial characters on the campaign, no doubt. Let's go ahead right now and give a listen to Ron Paul saying some really crazy stuff. I got to tell you right now, Ron Paul, a lot of folks are supporting Ron Paul right now, but he is kind of, he's out there where the buses don't run. I'm just not feeling the love here with Ron Paul. Let's take a listen to what Ron Paul has to say with regard to some of the immigration and with the debate here. Or, no, Ron Paul debate on drugs and prostitution. Let's take a listen. Well, I'd hope we'd be able to take a listen to Ron Paul talking about drugs and prostitution, but it seems we're having technical difficulties.
Personal habits. You say marijuana, cocaine, even heroin should be legal if states want to permit it. You feel the same about prostitution and gay marriage. Question, sir, why should social conservatives in South Carolina vote for you for president?
Well, they will if they understand my defense of liberty is the defense of their right to practice their religion and say their prayers where they want and practice their life. But if you do not protect liberty across the board, it's a First Amendment type issue. We don't have a First Amendment so they can talk about the weather. We have the First Amendment so we can say very controversial things. So for people to say that, yes, we have our religious beliefs protected, but people who want to follow something else or a controversial religion, you can't do this. If you have the inconsistency, then you're really not defending liberty. But there are strict rules on freedom of choice of this sort because you can't hurt other people, you can't defame other people. But yes, you have a right to do things that are very controversial. If not, you're going to end up with government is going to tell us what we can eat and drink and whatever. You know, it's amazing that we want freedom to pick the future, you know, our future in a spiritual way, but not when it comes to our personal habits. But
all right, that's Ron Paul talking about legalizing prostitution and drugs and all sorts of weirdness. Who in this room, this chat room, who listening to the sound of my voice is a Ron Paul supporter? And who, I wonder, thinks that he can win? I mean, the call-in number is 347-884-8500. If you believe Ron Paul can win the Republican nomination and thus go on to unseat Barack Hussein Obama and win the White House, you give me a call right now and explain why. I would really love to hear it, because I'm going to go ahead and play just one more clip, one more Ron Paul clip, because this guy is irresistible when it comes to you know, a lot of things he has to say. I mean, it's just amazing. Let's go ahead and take another listen here.
Congressman Paul, in 2007, in an interview, you were asked, should gays be allowed to marry? You said, quote, sure, they can do whatever they want and call it whatever they want. Are you advocating legalizing gay marriage in this country?
Well, matter of fact, I spent a whole chapter in a new book I've written on marriage. And I think it's very important, seeing that I've been married for 53, 54 years now. But I think the government should just be out of it. I think it should be done by the church or private contract. And we shouldn't have this argument, who's married and who isn't married. I have my standards, but I shouldn't have to impose my standards on others. Others have standards, and they have no right to impose their marriage standards on me. And I just don't like it. But if we want to have something to say about marriage, it should be at the state level and not at the federal government. Just get the government out of it. It's one area where it's totally unnecessary, and they cause more trouble than necessary.
Does anybody agree with that? I mean, I wonder if anyone agrees with the statement that that the government should not be involved in a lot of these things that we engage in, including marriage and the right to marry, who should marry, and all that. Does anyone believe in gay marriage? Does anyone believe that gay people have the right to marry? Ron Paul, Tesla writes, Ron Paul is a fruitcake. And Taylor has exposed himself to be a bit of a curmudgeon, which is his right to be. And I find it to be entertaining music. Calling Ron Paul a fruitcake, I can't help it, y'all. I have to agree with that. I believe that Ron Paul is, well, I believe that Ron Paul is a little bit extreme. But I love him. Now, let's go ahead and listen to, first we're going to go ahead and introduce Herman Cain, and then we're going to play a clip from Herman Cain's, Herman Cain's speeches. Because I think that Herman Cain is also one of those very entertaining presidential candidates, but I simply do not see him winning the nomination for president of the United States of America. As cool as a guy as he is, and I'd love to hang out with him, party like it's 1954, and all of that, but I just don't see him winning the nomination for president of the United States. Billy writes in the chat room, Obama is not extreme. Indeed. Indeed, Billy. Obama is the most extreme, but I think here's my honest opinion on what you just wrote in the chat room. I don't want to exchange an extreme for another extreme. We have an extreme president in the White House that's far, far to the left, bordering on Marxism, and then just one toe over the line to communism in President Barack Obama. And I think with a Ron Paul, we'd be going the other way. And I would really like more of a Reagan-esque type president. I think that we had Jimmy Carter, which is a comparison to Obama right now. I think Obama's a bit more left of even of Jimmy. But what we need what we need to counter Jimmy Carter and then him to retirement was Ronald Reagan, and I think we have Ronald Reagan style candidate to send him back home as well. American Citizen writes in the chat room, Herman Cain has no experience in elective office on his resume. But that's a problem for him. You can apply a business philosophy to government. Well, a citizen, I would submit that Barack Hussein Obama had just slightly more experience in government. And I think by what I just said, in all honesty, I just made your point for you. And I stepped in it with that one. Because I have been saying all along that Barack Obama has no experience. He has no idea what he's doing. He is incompetent. And I think with a Herman Cain having even less experience than Barack Obama, then we would not be served that much better, I think. But here, Herman Cain, cancer survivor, YouTube sensation, and former mathematician, Herman Cain has a resume that demands your attention, American citizen. His experience on all three major fronts of American politics, corporate, legislative, and media. Wow. Through his stellar career at Pillsbury, the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas, as chairman and the host of WSB's Herman Cain Show in Atlanta, well, that guarantees that the articulate Republican will never face a question of credibility. And does anyone agree? Who agrees with that? Herman Cain, credibility, mathematician with the United States Navy, corporate legislative experience, Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas. He was the chairman. I mean, that sounds pretty good. Breaking up. I think it might be my call-in that's causing the problem. I may have to give up Skype for a while. I'm using Skype as I'm calling in here tonight, and there has been some complaints about Skype and me, and also with the site as well. All right. Well, a little bit of Herman Cain and see what he has to say for himself.
Be borne in mind that the tragedy of life does not lie in not reaching your goals. The tragedy lies in having no goal to reach for. It's not a calamity to die with dreams unfulfilled, but it is a calamity to have no dreams. Ladies and gentlemen, the American dream is under attack. But the good news is we are fighting back. We are fighting back with our voices and our votes. And it is under attack by what I describe as the attack of the Asians. Too much legislation. Too much regulation. And too much taxation. The attack of the Asians is killing the American dream. But the good news is, we are fighting back. Regulation. You know, the arrogance of this administration and the 111th Congress went beyond shoving legislation down our throats that we didn't need, called health care reform legislation. They went so far and not only shoved legislation down our throats, we didn't need legislation, we did not want. They got hired on, we want to increase accessibility. Now that the cat is out of the bag, we now know that that health care reform legislation was an absolute disaster, and that's why the United States House is trying to repeal and replace, and we're going to help them do that.
All right. Herman Cain, y'all, give it up. Stand up and applaud. And give it up for Herman Cain. I'm going to tell you right now, when Herman Cain first came on the scene for me, is I was sitting in front of the TV listening to Bill Clinton give a speech. And Herman Cain, who was at the time running Pillsbury, and he had a question for Bill Clinton. And the exchange went a little something like this. Go ahead and check it out and tell me what you think about it.
Go up to Omaha, Loretta Carroll. Loretta.
Thanks, Wendell. Mr. President, Tuesday in North Carolina, we talked about the cost of health care reform for service industries, specifically restaurants. Here with me now is Herman Cain, the CEO of Godfather's Pizza. He has some concerns about that.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Thank you very much for this opportunity. And I would first like to commend you on making health care a national priority. In your State of the Union speech, you indicated that 9 out of 10 Americans currently have health care insurance primarily through their employers. And tonight you indicated that out of those people who do not have insurance, 8 out of 10 of them work for someone. And your plan would force employers to pay this insurance for those people that they currently do not cover. I would contend that employers who do not cover employees do not for one simple reason, and it relates to cost. Now, I have gone through the rigors of calculating the impact of your plan on my business, which has about 525 units throughout the country, and we employ in total over 10,000 employees. I have also talked with hundreds of other business people, and they've also calculated the cost impact on their businesses. I believe that this is something that we should and can fix, but for many, many businesses like mine, the cost of your plan is simply a cost that will cause us to eliminate jobs. In going through my own calculations, the number of jobs that we would have to eliminate to try and absorb this cost is a lot greater than I ever anticipated. Your averages about the impact on smaller businesses, those are all well-intended, but all of the averages represent a wide spectrum in terms of the businesses impacted. On behalf of all of those business owners that are in a situation similar to mine, my question is quite simply, if I'm forced to do this, what will I tell those people whose jobs I will have to eliminate?
Well, let's talk a minute about what you would have to do. Do you have, are any of your employees insured now?
Yes, sir. Approximately one-third of my employees are insured now.
And of the third that are insured now, what percent of payroll is their insurance cost?
My insurance costs at the present time run approximately 2.5% of payroll.
So, and what do you provide them with? They share the cost 50-50 or something like that?
Cost 75% paid for by my company and 25% paid for by the employee. Now, two-thirds of my employees are part-time or short-term workers that fall into the class that you identified earlier.
Okay. Then if they're part-time or short-term workers, they wouldn't add all that much left. You wouldn't have to pay the whole 7.9% for them because they don't work all the time. And let me ask you this. On average, food service businesses' payroll is about one-third of the total cost of doing business. Is that about what it is?
That's an adequate estimation, yes, sir.
Okay, so suppose since you have part-time workers and some wouldn't have to cover it, so you wouldn't go from 2.5% of payroll to 7.9%. You might go to something like 6%. If you had 6% of payroll, let's just say instead of 2.5%, let's say 6.5%, that's a good even number. You had 4% of payroll, and that's one-third of your total cost. So you would add about 1.5% to the total cost of doing business. Would that really cause you to lay a lot of people off if all your competitors had to do it too? Only if people stopped eating out. If all your competitors had to do it and you asked 1.5% and your cost of doing business went up 1.5%, wouldn't that leave you in the same position you are now? Why wouldn't they all be in the same position? And why wouldn't you all be able to raise the price of pizza 2%? I'm a satisfied customer. I keep buying from you. This is a very important question because a huge number of Americans are involved in the food industry. 40% of the American food dollar is spent eating out now. 40%. So this is not an idle question. This man is raising a very important question in terms of employment. But what if all your competitors were just like you? Wouldn't you be able to do it then?
Okay, first of all, Mr. President, with all due respect, your calculation on what the impact would do, quite honestly, is incorrect. Let's take, for example, the fact that after I went through my calculations, your calculation or your example of the 6% or the 7.9, and in my case, it works out to 7.9%. Now, let's suppose that 30% of my costs are labor costs. 7.9 times that would be the 2 to 2.5% that you're referring to. The problem with that calculation, sir, is the fact that most of those 30% of the people currently have zero. So when I calculate in the fact that I have to go from no coverage on those employees to full coverage at the 7.9% rate, it actually works out to be approximately 16%. Now,
all right. So here's where Herman Cain took center stage. This is where Herman Cain made a name for himself in responding to President Clinton's very glib, very con artistry type of rhetoric. When you have a mathematician who is also a businessman who is running a very profitable, well-run business, and then you have the President of the United States at the time, Bill Clinton, seeking to be political, it just doesn't work. What do you think now of Herman Cain as a possible presidential candidate? I mean, we did have a nuclear physicist in the White House in the form of Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter studied nuclear engineering at the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis, my alma mater. And just because you're a smart person, does that mean that you can be president of the United States? I don't know. It seems to me that Herman Cain bested Bill Clinton fairly easily in that exchange. Okay, so now we have Herman Cain rolling out the numbers, as Minnesota Girl points out, putting it out there, telling the President of the United States that his calculations are flat out wrong. So now here we are, fast forward 12 years or so, and we have a President of the United States who has managed with Democrat Congress and Senate to push through a massive health care legislative overhaul, which is going to do exactly, if not more, than President Clinton wanted done, and cause companies to simply drop workers from the health care rolls and absorb that $2,500 fine. And some are saying that this is what the Obama administration wanted all along, was for companies to simply say that they're going to drop health care from their payrolls and thus the future administration can go ahead and start and put that single payer thing into play. Maybe this administration isn't as stupid as we think. Maybe they're thinking two or three moves ahead. I wonder. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. The next man on our list is the imploding Newt Gingrich. Most of his staff has run for the hills after he attacked one of our own. A major disaster, and yet he appeared last night in the debate. Is anybody favoring Newt right now? Newt, not aesthetically pleasing, not a handsome man, not overtly charismatic, kind of portly, but brilliant nonetheless. Tesla says that in the chat room that Newt is irrelevant. Well, with virtually no staff, they've all run for cover. Let's run down his credentials. After a 13-year absence from mainstream politics, Newt Leroy Gingrich has announced his candidacy for the Republican presidential nomination. His campaign, which kicked off with a 17-day city swing, has unfortunately begun under a torrent of criticism following his controversial statements on Medicare and a perceived attack on fellow Republican Paul Ryan. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, Gingrich, a fighter and above all a consummate politician, is expected to make a swift recovery and stamp his mark on the race. That recovery isn't so swift. He went on a vacation to recover, and then he got criticized for that fine vacation he went on. Huh. All right, so we got Newt in the house. Give it up for Newt Gingrich. Portly? Yes. Not very handsome? Mm-mm. Brilliant. Historian, like myself. Those are notches in his favor. But can he overcome that not-so-aesthetically-pleasing look and that somewhat sharp manner? Tesla writes in the chat room, Newt imploded out of the box. Then his staff resigns. He's not going anywhere. Okay. Next on our list is former governor of New Mexico, Gary Johnson. The former libertarian Republican governor does not attend church, is pro-choice, pro-free trade, pro-immigration, an outspoken critic of the war on drugs, and a strong proponent of legalizing marijuana. He led New Mexico for 8 years, during which time the state sought no tax increases, and he vetoed over 750 separate pieces of legislation to keep the government from growing. However, his views on civil liberties, foreign policy, and drugs may be difficult for many conservatives to reconcile with. No damn doubt. Wait, no. I didn't say I was a brilliant historian, Tesler. I said that he was a brilliant politician and historian like myself. There's some commas there. You got to put those commas in there. Okay. You know, those separators. All right, so Gary Johnson, y'all, give it up for Gary. Gary, no. Never even heard of Gary. All right, so we've thrown Fred Krager out there, the gay dude. Not that there's anything wrong with that. We've got Jimmy McMullen, the rent is too damn high, karate expert. He's telling Obama that if he doesn't do his job right, he's coming for him. Then we've got a career flight attendant, you all. A career flight attendant. Tom Miller sees the United States of America as being destroyed from within. This destruction is being created by career politicians, excessive debt, illegal immigration, political correctness, and so much more. Career flight attendant running for president. Then we've got the quintessential Leave It to Beaver. Just a plain, just oh, nice guy. I mean, as sweet as the day is long. Yeah, I'm talking about former governor of Minnesota, Tim Pawlenty. Tim Pawlenty, Timothy James Pawlenty, the former two-term governor of Minnesota, is renowned for his ability to connect with the masses. His middle-class background leads him an earthly appeal to the average Joes. Do we have any average Joes out there who feel an earthly appeal toward Tim? Not unlike the warm Texan drawl of former President George W. Bush, his time in Minnesota is typified by his focus on grassroots issues, tackling subjects that affect them and their future. His balancing of the state's budget and reforming of the health system is still paying off for many Minnesotans. So he's taking care of Minnesota. Anybody? Tesla writes, T-Paul blew it last night. He's like vanilla ice cream or kissing your sister. Nice, but doesn't do a thing for you. Okay. So no one's going with T-Paul right now? Anybody? Tim Pawlenty, y'all. 347-884-8500. Nobody? Nope. All right. How about Buddy Romer? Not a handsome man, not aesthetically pleasing to the eye, maybe to his wife, perhaps. But after being away from politics for the last two decades, former Louisiana Governor Buddy Romer announced this year, on March, the launch of his Presidential Exploratory Committee. The 67-year-old former Democrat has cited campaign finance reform as the bulwarks of his platform and has imposed a $100 limit on disclosed contributions per individual for his presidential run. At a Tea Party rally in May, he claimed that the current system is disastrous and it's dysfunctional. Anybody for Buddy? Buddy Romer, y'all. Give it up for Buddy Romer. Okay. No, nobody. Ooh. Now here he comes. Here he comes. You know who I'm going to announce next. Anybody? Anybody care to win the big prize and guess who I'm about to announce next? That handsome stud. Hey, when I see him speak, I even have to cross my legs. I tell you what. Mitt the Stud Romney. Give it up, y'all, for Mitt the Stud. Reagan hairstyle, not a hair out of place. Winning presidential smile. Mitt Romney. Wow, Mitt. I used to know what Mitt stood for, but now I do not. I've forgotten what Mitt stands for. Mitt is not his name. Mitt Romney is considered by many the Republican Presidential Party, in the Republican Presidential Party, to be the front runner, way out front, like Secretariat front. His 2008 presidential campaign collapsed after a second place caucus finish to Mike Huckabee in Iowa. The state in which Romney had been considered strong. Romney, a Harvard graduate, former governor, and longtime venture capitalist, is revered for his financial knowledge. Many believe that Mitt Romney is the most qualified candidate to help the now struggling U.S. economy. Anybody in love with Mitt Romney right now besides his wife? No? No takers? Oh, okay. All right, give it up, y'all, for Mitt Romney. What a stud. All right. Former U.S. Senator from Pennsylvania, the Steel State, Rick Santorum, not blowing the skirt up over here. Immediately following the 2010 midterm elections, former Senator Rick Santorum of Pennsylvania announced that he will make his sixth trip to New Hampshire this year to focus on recent elections and the road ahead for the Republican Party. He has also made seven trips to Iowa and six to South Carolina. These three states all play a crucial role in the road to the White House. Anybody feeling the love of Rick Santorum? All right. Nobody. Nobody at all. Michelle Bachmann. Yeah. Hot. Indeed. Why is it that nearly all of the Republican ladies are hot, are beautiful? And you have ladies like Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama, but ass ugly. Is there anything to it? Anything to it? Look at it. Hillary Clinton, butt ass ugly. Michelle Obama, ditto. And I can rattle off a whole host. Nancy Pelosi, hideous. Now, Sarah Palin, hot. Michelle Bachmann, hot. And any other, almost every other Republican woman on the planet, gorgeous. What's up with that? Okay, well, now we've done style, let's do substance. Michelle Bachmann, the three-term Republican congresswoman from Minnesota, is the current chair of the Congressional Tea Party Caucus. The formidable Iowan, a former lawyer, has joined Sarah Palin as the only woman potentially seeking the Republican nomination for the president for presidential election in the increasing crowded GOP field. Bachmann started off her political career as a Democrat before switching to the Republican platform in her final year at Winona State University. Give it up, y'all, for Michelle Bachmann for Winona State University. Never heard of it, but hey. She's not pretty. She just looks that way. Yes, Michelle Malkin, hot. They're all beautiful. And Michelle is fake. Okay. Michelle Bachmann, Michelle Malkin. They're all beautiful ladies with brains. I tell you what, gentlemen, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a Democrat woman your wife. So from my personal point of view, get a conservative girl to marry you. All right. Scott Brown. Good looking. That's it. Rudy Giuliani. Do you remember the days? Former mayor of New York, Rudy Giuliani, the days of the toupee. What year did he finally remove that toupee? Huh? It was almost hard to tell that he was wearing one, wasn't it? Rudy Giuliani. Too many. Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani is damaged goods. With just too much baggage to be ever considered for high office again, let alone as president. However, to others, this merely exemplifies the human side of the former Time Magazine Person of the Year. This, coupled with the fond memories of Giuliani's decisive and confronting leadership following the 911 WTC attack, probably explains why Giuliani tops the list of 12 Republican candidates in recent CNN polls. Anybody for Rudy? Rudy, Giuliani, y'all. Give it up. Minus the toupee. Okay. Nobody for Rudy. I like this guy right here. The guy coming up right here. Lindsey Graham, U.S. Senator from South Carolina. Graham is a moderate conservative and a man who likes to get things done. He has strong beliefs and he works with his colleagues to move policy toward his beliefs rather than remaining ineffective and on the sidelines. Graham believes that compromise, which results in the actual passing of legislation, to be a senator's most important job. In this day and age, a man of compromise may be in the cards. Anybody for Lindsey Graham? Here's an interesting choice coming up right here. John Huntsman. A man like myself, the 51-year-old Mandarin-speaking former governor of Utah, started the rumor mill on his much-anticipated entry into the Republican presidential nomination race by resigning from his position as U.S. ambassador to China on January 31, 2011. The highly rated and charismatic Republican technocrat is considered by many in Washington to be one of the most dangerous dark horses left in the race. And is one of the few Republican candidates that stands a chance of unseating the incumbent President Obama. What's cool about this guy is he was appointed UN ambassador by the Obama administration. And, like me, he speaks Mandarin Chinese. Woo! Except, I had to spend 2 years at the language school in Coronado, and then another year in China to learn Chinese. He probably just did the cassette tape thing. All right. Nevertheless, next on our list, Sarah Palin. Anybody, the sexy, hot, beautiful, sexy Sarah Palin. Does anybody feel the love with Sarah Palin right now? I have a call on the line, 215. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report. The caller has dropped. He is gone. Oops. I am sorry. Come on back. Come on back and let's talk about it. Despite being the recipient of some of the most unfavorable press coverage of the past year, Palin just refuses to disappear. While not actually topping any of them, Palin remains one of the most supported candidates in almost all presidential polls conducted over the past year, and this is without any sort of state-level campaign machinery in place. The supporters of the Tea Party, darling, have even coined the term for themselves, Palinites, befitting her rock star status in the speaking circuit. Anybody? Call back. Call back and voice your choice. Anybody for Sarah Palin right now? The calling number is 347-884-8500. Sarah Palin. Combed through the emails. Found nothing. Combed through my emails. They'll make you blush. Sarah Palin. Email. Much ado about nothing. C. Robert Jones email, arrest warrants will be issued. Okay. Rick Perry. My choice, right here and right now. Rick Perry, y'all. Yeah, he's a stud. Good looking. Well-spoken, Reagan-esque, just like Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney and Rick Perry could be brothers. They could be twins. Put those two together, and Obama is going home in 2012. Anybody agree? Call on the line. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report.
Yeah, I think at this point, what the country needs is a candidate that is going to fix this economy. Because as a person with not a, most people have average incomes, they can't afford to pay these high gasoline prices and these high food prices. So this economy needs to be fixed. And I really don't care what the man looks like, as long as he has a plan to fix the economy. Now, I mean, some of the other candidates have talked in like a theoretical way about the Federal Reserve and so forth, but I think the average voter cares about whether the economy is going to go the right way. Because one thing with these real estate prices, I'm speaking from personal, like a personal situation. The home I live in, I've lost close to like $30,000 from the original price that I paid for it over like a 3-year period of time. So, I mean, the housing prices are starting to go down, and this affects people if they want to resell their home and so forth. So, I mean, like, and at the same time, they want to propose higher property tax. So, you know, this whole thing with the economy, this has to be changed. Because a person with an average income cannot afford to pay these prices forever. And that's what I think that the Republicans need to have a solution to the economy.
And you know what? And, you know, I agree wholeheartedly. However, I appreciate, citizen, that the fact that you don't care about, you know, what the person looks like. However, we do live in a society where, you know, looks are important, unfortunately. Let me give you an example. In the Marine Corps, one would think that the Marine Corps is down and dirty and it's all about combat and being really tough and being able to be disciplined and a great warrior. But I'll tell you right now that 50%, fully 50%, of how a Marine is viewed and a Marine is rated as a Marine is his appearance in uniform, his bearing. All of these things are important. If you are a poster Marine, a poster style Marine, a Marine recruiting poster, that's half the battle right there toward promotion. And that's just simply a microcosm of society. Looks are important. And you got to look the part, apparently, in order to get anywhere. And that's going way back from even the 60s when you had the debate between Richard Nixon and President Kennedy, where Nixon showed up at the debate, you know, with stubble. He looked tired. He looked worn out. And President Kennedy appeared to be fresh, exhilarated, exuberant, you know, ready to go. Now, we know. We know now that you know, Kennedy was most likely, you know, high on amphetamines at the time, but even back then, the appearance looked took precedent. During that debate, it was thought by many that Richard Nixon had won the debate, but because of Nixon's appearance during the debate, the debate was wholeheartedly given away to Kennedy. Looks do play a part in how we are judged. People judge us on the words we use and our appearance, not on the content of our character and all of that, which I believe is how it should be. But we are judged by the words we use and our appearance, and that's going to be important
right.
in this particular election.
Right, but in the case of some of the candidates, if you look at them on an individual basis, I think with a politician where you have to appeal to large amounts of people, mm-hmm. it's not just the looks. You have to have a certain type of charisma.
Yeah.
Your voice has to be a certain way so that people would want to listen to what you have to say, because you're on stage and people are trying to decide if you're the right person for the job. One thing that the man who is the doctor, I think, what's the guy's name? Ron Paul.
Yeah.
one thing that he does not have, he does not have any charisma. And
yeah.
his posture, I watched that as he came out of his car and was walking into the stage. His posture is terrible. He looks
yeah.
tired all the time. And his voice, when he explains things, he does not explain things well. So I think that if people are kind of looking at these style points, he needs, you know, some type of coaching in that area. The problem with Herman Cain is he may have a lot of this experience being a mathematician in the Navy and in business and so forth, but he's never held any type of an elected office. And if people have to decide on a candidate who happens to be a minority, you know, they're going to want to see a perfect resume. He does not have a perfect resume. So that's why I'm saying that right now, probably the only choices that are logical choices is Bachman, Romney, and like possibly somebody else that may come along. The main problem with Gingrich is, you know, people would question his judgment in terms of why his staff that had been with him for over 16 years, why
mm-hmm.
did all of them kind of walk out on him recently? And then there's been questions about his management style. Also, there are questions about his character because he's been married like 3 times, and on the second marriage, there was a question as to whether he had cheated on his wife. So these types of issues still matter to people. So that's what I'm saying. Right now, your only two really logical choices is probably Bachman and Romney.
Well, I think that Bachman would make a pretty inviting vice presidential choice. I think that I don't think that Paul Ryan's going to run. I believe that the best choices are Rick Perry and Mitt Romney, or Rick Perry and the fine Chris Christie, governor from New Jersey, or the governor from New Jersey and Mitt Romney. And some have even stated that Marco Rubio would make a fine vice presidential candidate, and that Marco Rubio, with any of the candidates that I mentioned, would be almost a guaranteed lock to unseat Obama in 2012. Marco Rubio, Rick Perry. Marco Rubio, Mitt Romney. What do you think?
Well, I think in like the case of Rubio, he is new on the scene, and I don't, you know, I think that they would want him to be at the top of the ticket in like a 5 to 10 year period of time, because I think at this point in time, they're going to start to go with unconditional candidates for president. I think if they can get Obama out of there, the next candidate for president is going to be a Caucasian woman. And
mm-hmm.
then you're going to see after that, they're going to look at a Hispanic because of the changing demographics in the country. Right now, everyone agrees that Obama is doing a terrible job, and I think this is going to hurt African-American politicians in the future. But I think at this point they want to get him out of office, but they're going to go with the best person they think they can do that. And then they may entertain like putting a Caucasian woman and a Hispanic. But they're not going to use someone that is new because of the situation that happened with Sarah Palin, in the sense that they use somebody that did not have a lot of experience with national politics. And then if she made mistakes, it just, you know, like it would just cause the whole ticket to come apart.
Yeah. Tesla writes in the chat room that there are too many Southerners with the Perry Rubio contest, but I submit that we had 8 years of Clinton and Gore, both Southerners, neighboring Southern states. I don't see an issue with that. But Tesla writes that although that would lock up the Texas and Florida for them, and that's a lot of electoral votes, but I think that it would go a little bit deeper than that. We did have Clinton Gore for 8 years. What about Alan West?
Well, Alan West is of course a war hero, but the thing is that he's new, and mm-hmm. so you're not sure how he would perform if he's trying to run for a national office. So
yeah.
I think at this point the priority is to get somebody who has held a political office before, who can give Obama a real challenge on the weakness that he's had in terms of his job in trying to fix the economy. Because the number one priority is the economy. Because people of an average income, so when I say average income, I mean people that make between $35,000 and $45,000 a year. Their housing, the real estate market is terrible. The housing prices are falling. There's a lot of people that are underwater in their mortgage because the real estate price is falling, and if they're paying on the mortgage, the price of the house is lower than what they owe on their mortgage.
Yeah.
And then with the gasoline prices and the food prices, somebody making between $35,000 and $45,000 a year is having a hard time right now. So,
yeah, that's
you know,
true.
This has to be fixed. And so this is where Obama is vulnerable. You know, he's got us in all these wars and all this other type of stuff. And I think that whoever is the candidate, they need to attack him on these issues.
All right. So, Citizen, while I have you here, who would be your dream team to beat Obama in 2012, the two best suited to unseat Obama in 2012?
Well, from what I saw the other night, it would be between Bachman and Romney. They would have the qualities that would be needed to unseat Obama based upon the performances I saw last night.
Huh. That's interesting. So a ticket of Romney as president and then his vice presidential choice of Michelle Bachman.
Yeah, I think that would be those are the top two from the candidates I saw last night. Those are the top two. So if you made up a ticket, I would make up a ticket of those two.
Mm-hmm. I think that'd make an interesting choice. I think if I had to go with my two, and I have made up my mind right now, I would have to go with Rick Perry, who has not announced, and then Mitt Romney. Put those two together, and I think you have a winning ticket. In absence of Chris Christie getting into the race, we have a whole lot of folks. I'm not so sure that I love Michelle Bachman. I think she's a very intelligent young lady, and she put things together very well in terms of how she'd like to see America develop from here on out. And I think that she is a patriot and she has a great love for this great country. But I just don't see her in a starring role in the upcoming 2012 presidential race. I do see her as a formidable VP candidate. But,
well, I think she's a better candidate than Sarah Palin. I listened to her responses. She has a stronger response. You know, she's an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
She has experience, like in terms of politics. And
yeah.
I think that she's a little bit more intelligent than Palin. I think if you put Palin in that arena again, she's going to make mistakes. Because I listened to her response when they asked her about American history, and her response was terrible. So I think that, you know, it would be Bachman and Romney would be the two best choices based on the candidates that they put up last night.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I do agree that that Bachman is a better suited candidate, and I don't believe that. I wonder though if she'll be hounded as much as Sarah Palin, if she will be vilified the way Sarah Palin has been over the last couple of years, and how she would handle that.
I think the reason why Palin was vilified is because I'm not trying to, you know, make fun of anyone, mm-hmm. but Palin does not strike me as being that intelligent. And from what I heard about what happened during the McCain campaign, they had to have tutors to monitor Palin. Anytime she had a debate, they had to put together different types of pamphlets for her to study, because there was so much knowledge that she didn't have.
Yeah.
And they had a very hard time in trying to prep her for the for like all the appearances that she had, and she was still kind of making a lot of mistakes. So
yeah.
I think with Bachman, I think she is probably like somewhat more knowledgeable. So if she gets into a televised interview, like she's probably not going to make that many mistakes as Taylor.
Yeah, I agree as well. I think that Michelle Bachman will do a lot better, and I'm not so sure she'll be as, for lack of a better word, phrase, picked on as much as Sarah Palin. I have my list out there. I have my guys I would love to see out there. I don't think Herman Cain will do well. Maybe as a vice presidential slot, but not as president. I mean, it sounds nice on paper. He looks good. He talks well. He has a lust for this country in terms of how he loves the country, and he's got some credentials there. But I just don't see him coming after Barack Obama, just like you don't either. I mean, and for the very same reasons.
Right, because of the fact that, you know, whether people like it or not, Obama has ruined it for a lot of African-American politicians. I don't know whether it may be 25 years, 30 years before you see a prominent African-American man make it into a national office again. You know, currently, you know, the African-Americans don't have any senators. They only have one governor. So, you know, this has ruined a lot of their chances. But the main thing is the economy needs to be fixed. The economy is hurting a lot of average income people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this has to be fixed. And that's the main platform that a Republican candidate needs to run on. We need to fix this economy and get America out of these wars. But we don't need somebody who's going to take radical views on different subjects. The main subject is the economy.
Yeah, that's true. I couldn't agree more. Hey, Citizen, thanks for the call. We got to wrap up the show right now. If you got something parting you want to say, go right ahead.
No, I mean, that's all. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the call, Citizen. I always love it when you call in. You have some good points to make, and I do appreciate you calling in. Thank you very much.
All right.
All right, that's AC. Hey, join us a little bit later on. I'm going to try to be there. I'm always in the room, and I'm talking about GGT and Cool Mike. Their show's coming up at 11:30 tonight. I try to stay awake for it, but you know, it's not the show that's putting me to sleep. I just want everybody to know that. It's just that the lateness of the hour. I get up at 4:30, 5:00 every morning, and I'm running until it gets kind of late. But tonight, GGT, Cool Mike. Check them out. It's going to be a great show tonight. Richard writes in the chat room, it's a good thing Rick Perry says he's not running for president. Only 4% of Texas Republicans say they'd vote for the governor, according to the latest University of Texas Tribune poll. Richard, Governor Perry was on earlier today on Fox News with Neil Cavuto, and he has not ruled out a run. He says that he's exploring his options. He has not stated that he will not run just yet. I do believe he's wavering and that he won't run. But earlier today on Neil Cavuto's show, he did not say that he was not going to. So we'll see, we'll have to see how that works out. I want to thank everybody for being here, everybody for listening. Citizen, Antoinette, Beach Bum, Cougar, ETO, and all the guests who've called in and who are listening on their computers or PDAs, Richard Martin, Tesler, and MD, everybody. And I know that Cool Mike is here, and then GDT was here earlier. Thank everybody for listening. I do appreciate it. Join Cougar 11 or Cool Mike and GDT tonight at 11:30. They always have a great show. They are the best, besides Tesla being the best. They are second best. They're co-best. How about we be politically correct here? They are co-best. They are the best of the best. They're all the best. Yeah, let's get together with them later on tonight, 11:30. Thank you all so much for being here, and I am out. Have a good night. God bless you all. Whew. Wow, what a day. Ron Paul, 2012. Oh, yeah, it's been great. Oh, wow. All right, join us tomorrow, though, folks, because we're going to talk about the blame game with Barack Hussein Obama and how he is blaming even his own mama for the predicament that America is in. He's blaming his dog. He's blaming my dog. He's blaming your mama, your grandmama. He's blaming his nieces. He's blaming his nephews. He's blaming his grandchildren. He's blaming the rock outside the White House, the White House. He's blaming the shrubbery. Like the death that. He's blaming his fight. He's blaming the sun, the moon, and all the stars. He's towards himself. Blaming. Barack Obama. Blaming the game. All night. Time. Blaming me, bad economy, blaming my dog.